have two things I have to do. I also can't let pictures be crooked in the house. I know there's not anything wrong with me, but I just don't like things that aren't where they belong. But I do like you. And I appreciate so much this time this morning. I appreciate the clock. I'm not sure the symbolism of that. In the old auditorium, we had a clock on the back wall, and when we built this one, I got that taken away. But that clock is set at 12:05. If that's a hint, you're going to be lucky. But we will take care of things this morning. Jim, thank you for those songs. I asked him to lead songs on love. I am convinced, and I have no scripture for this, but I do that every once in a while. I'm convinced that a majority of the angels are female. I know that the ones we get written up are always male, but when I hear the women sing and the men silent, I know that must be as close to the angel voices as we get. This congregation is better than most choirs anywhere else, and I love it. It's been special to me. And it always will continue to be. Michael, thank you for not saying all you know. I have often thought that if I live long enough to do his funeral, which I will not, but the passage that always comes to mind is a man without guile. And I have known him for enough years to know that that's true. I can't think of anybody that I'd rather have say something here today. The stories he told you were all true stories. I could spend the rest of our time telling you some more about them, but I will. He told you the story about our motorcycle trip. You have to understand to get the full picture. There were 3,000 Harleys and 2 Japanese bikes. And they introduced us as the Rice Burner Twins. But it was a great time, a wonderful experience. He also said that we had never had an argument, and that's true. I often say we never had a crossword. Sometimes I have to tag on to that. Once or twice I've said, don't say anything more. And a few times I have tried not to say anything more. Michael was more than my right hand through the years. He was my equal. He was the one who absolutely believed it was easier to get forgiveness than it was permission. And most of the advantages in this church physically are here because he got them. While I was saying, that probably isn't a good idea yet. You'll notice that I still don't use this, and you ought to be really happy because if I had put my sermon on this, you wouldn't get out until afternoon. But because I didn't, I can adjust it, and so you can just relax and we'll be all right here this morning. Obviously, with the songs we sang, there's no question about what I want to talk to you about. Many of you know that the first time, well, I've told you this, only one family is here that would know the first time I spoke in this group of people, but Jack and Dolores Griffin are the only adults still living that are a part of this congregation when I came. The first sermon I preached was on love. It's been the first sermon I've preached almost everywhere, and I've only been 3 churches, so that's not like a big deal. But I believe it's the foundation of the church. And I have to tell you this. This will be the 5th time I have preached my last sermon to you. I don't know why we can't seem to get that straight, but I do enjoy the opportunity that I have with you. I'm convinced that love is the foundation on which God relates to man. Why he made us, I don't know. But the fact that he made us and loved us, I do know. And I understand that as a result of his making us and loving us, he has developed a great many things that sometimes are difficult for us and sometimes are even an irritation, but without a doubt they were done so that we might be better off and be happy. And I think we have a hard time understanding that. There's something about commands that are difficult for us. We live in a society where we're independent and we really don't like to be told things. Most of you know, if you've been married as long as Scotty and I, that one of the best ways to get your mate to do something is tell him don't. Because we just have a tendency to want to say, you're not going to tell me not to do this. And so it works very well. I teach couples that quite often. If you push, we draw back. God's push should not cause us to draw back. God's push should cause us to be better. The scripture that was read is a scripture that Jesus gives, but it comes from the Old Testament. When they're trying to trap him, they tried several things, and he always gives an answer that makes the people who are trying to trap him look bad. And so they finally have one lawyer who speaks to him, and he says, well, just tell us what the greatest commandment is. Okay, you've got 10 that the people are really aware of, but we're not talking about the law of Moses, we're talking about the 10 commandments. And whichever one he chooses, they're going to say, so you don't really think this is important, you know. If you think not killing is the most important and stealing probably is all right, is that what you say? That was their idea. But he doesn't handle it that way. He gives them this one passage that all of us know and all of us can quote. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And then he says, because these are people who don't really care about him and don't care much for each other. And the second is like this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then the most powerful thing he says that attaches itself to this idea is, on this hangs all of the law and the prophets. In other words, if you want to look for any commands, you want to look for any teachings, you want to look for any thoughts, you want to look for God's good side coming toward you because you're good, or his hard side coming because you're not good, it's all based on this. If you love God with everything you have, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you have completed everything that God set before you to do. Now, you can't be ignorant and get that all to work. You can't not know what God wants, not know who God is, not know what he expects of you and get this to work out. So studying and learning and knowing about God as we learn him from his word is essential to being able to fulfill this. So when he says, if you love me, you keep my commandments, you don't say, well, I don't know what those are. You have to understand it. But his commandments are all for you to enjoy this life and to know that in eternity you'll dwell with him again. I love John's writing. I've taught all of the books of John many times. And John was known as the Apostle of Love, probably because most of what he says and writes in the latter period of his life is dealing with that over and over again. He makes statements that are so offensive as to say, if you don't love man whom you've seen, you can't love God whom you've not seen. We say, well, you know, I love God, but man is something else. No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. To love one another is commanded 13 times in the New Testament. And Jesus quotes that statement at least three times in the book of John alone. And we don't do a very good job of it. Now, this congregation is about as loving as any congregation that I've ever known. But the loving that belongs to us is a loving that is sacrificial. And I'm not very good at that. I can accept my friends. I especially get along with those who think I'm right. You may have noticed that. I can love my enemies as long as they stay away and don't cause me trouble. It's very easy to love enemies over there. It's much more difficult to love enemies that are here and are attacking you. But did you know all of these are commands of God? My love for you has to be so strong that I put you in front of myself. Have you got that working yet? You really have that kind of love. That's the kind of love that we're called to have. Do you really have the kind of love that as you look around in this audience among all these people, you think, I would prefer good things for one of them or all of them more than I do for myself? And yet that's the God who called you. God so loved that He gave. But what He gave is unimaginable to us. Who among us would offer their only son or grandson or great-grandson just to keep this bunch where they could be all right? And yet that's what we're called. So this is a struggle. What I'm saying is not something light. What I'm saying is this is eternity here. We are called upon to be that kind of people. And coming and sitting in this auditorium and being together and not fussing a whole lot, that's really good. That's better than most places. But that doesn't take you to the level that God called you to go to. And if you really want to be a representative of God here upon the earth, if you really want to be Christ-like, as we so often hear the stories told, then what you're going to have to do is deepen your love. Some of you may already be there. I struggle with it every single day. I'm not out there because I'm angry with you. I'm not out there because I don't care a whole lot about the suffering. I'm just out there and sometimes not paying a whole lot of attention to what the real needs are around me. And you don't get better unless you do every single day some type of thing that makes you think, I'm working in the right direction here. Today, I'm going to do, not just think, I'm going to do more of what Jesus would have me do. The church at North Street has been built on what I'm telling you now. It exists as a unique congregation in this part of the world because it has not divided in its history. I don't know any others that are like that. We've had some disturbances among us, and there have been times when some of us have thought it would be better to be separated from others of us. I remember very distinctly a group that came to me. There were about 30 of them, and they said, we want to start another church. And I said, you haven't listened to anything I've said, have you? They said, no, we want one where we all agree. And I said, well, then my wife can't come. And you know that's the truth. So that's not the point of how we love each other, that we all agree. The point is we love each other in spite of the fact that we don't all agree. We love each other to the place that we would do everything we can not to cause one of the others of us to be lost to the cause of Christ. Love is such a big word. You know, we love God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, and all of our mind. That's the saying. We love our neighbor as ourself. Beautiful thought. And we love baseball and hot dogs and puppy dogs and all kinds of things, because love is such a big word that it slides around. Sometimes it looks like we love hot dogs and puppy dogs more than we love God and our neighbor. And you can't do that. I want more than anything else for you to go to heaven. I pray for that for my children. I don't pray for them to be wealthy, well off, always happy. I pray that they will finish this life and go to be with God. And that's what I pray for every day for you. That when all is said and done, when we've finished everything up, God looks down and says, well, this one didn't get burned up in the fire. The work I've done was to bring people to Christ and to cause them to go to live with God. But I worry about it. I know what time it is. Let me tell you one story. This will let you relax to know that this is just one story and it's not all that long. Jesus, at the close of His time here upon the earth, goes down by the sea and He finds a group of men fishing. It's kind of strange because that's where He found them the first time He found them. And He finds the same situation, fished all night and caught no fishes, as the little children sing in their song. And He does the same thing He did before. He said, let your nets down over here. And they had an overwhelming catch, so large a catch they couldn't get it to shore without a lot of help dragging it in. The nets were tearing. And when these men who had been with Him all these years but did not understand who He was or what He was trying to do, come to the shore, they recognize it is the Lord. And we're told this is the third time He had appeared to them since His resurrection. And He's fixing something for them to eat here, and so they eat, and everybody's pretty quiet because they know who He is, but they don't know exactly what to do now. And He says, Peter, and I'm sure Peter shook inside, because Peter's always going to do everything the best and always fails trying to do it. And it's almost as though you can hear Him say, why me, Lord? I've messed up so many times, and I remember more clearly than anything else actually denying You in the presence of witnesses just before You were going to die. But that isn't what He wanted to talk to Peter about. He always was teaching something positive. And so He says to him, Peter, do you love me more than these? I don't know what He's talking about. It may be, do you love me more than these other disciples? I don't know. Many people think, do you love me more than the fish you've caught? And that may be true. But Peter knew what He was saying. Do you love me more than these? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He does this again, and Peter answers again. And he does it a third time, and it says, and Peter's feelings were hurt, because He asked him a third time, do you love me? Now, most of you have been taught enough that you know this passage, but there may be some among us that don't. The English does not do justice to what this passage is. It's not because He asked him a third time. It's because He's changing words on Peter. Jesus starts out the first time and He says, do you love me? And this is the agape word that all of us are familiar with. This is the deep, abiding, strong love. Do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, phileo. And the best way I can translate it is, do you love me like the love of God? And He says, I like you very much. That's the difference in the two words. And Jesus tries a second time and He said, you know, you've made all these big statements about you'll go with me to prison and to death, all these things. Do you love me like the love of God. And Peter, who has always been bragging, is still not willing to do that. And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know I like you very much." Now, why is he hurt with the third time? Because Jesus drops. And he says, "Peter, do you like me very much?" And I ask you today, do you like him very much? Let's stand and sing.